finally now the responsive singing of the first two portions of Psalm 119 begins on the bottom of page 190 and continues on page 191. Let us rise. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord.
Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart.
They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways.
Scripture reading is taken from this very psalm, beginning with the 9th verse. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen us in our faith. Your word is truth. Amen. Imagine if we were to gather together the entire adult workforce of Mankato and North Mankato, roughly 30,000 people, and use that to build one glorious, beautiful sanctuary here in the city. And to go out and find the finest materials that we could get and bring them back to one location and build a gorgeous, beautiful church. Gives us a little idea of what took place at the time of Solomon. We're told that 30,000 workers and craftsmen went out and found the finest materials to create the wonderful temple in Jerusalem. Imagine if you could, and maybe when you were in Sunday school learning about the temple and so on, I used to think of this as a child. If you could have taken a tour and a walk through that glorious sanctuary, what that must have been like to go into the holy place and to see the lampstand and to see the to smell the incense and so on, to see the large curtain there that hung and so on. What a magnificent place this must have been. It's interesting that in the New Testament, God refers to the body of a believer, our very essence and existence as a human being, body, soul, mind, and so on, as being the temple of the Lord. In the text before us, in this portion of Psalm 119, which deals with the believer's relationship to God through his word, this simple question is asked. How can a young man, or a young woman, how can a young man cleanse his way? The very fact that the question needs to be asked demonstrates that God is well aware of our sinfulness, that we need cleansing. Our own holiness and righteousness as far as how we live out our lives is something that's not assumed at all. So how can a young man or woman cleanse his or her way? While you and I live in this world, we are faced with constant temptations, and there's a pull and a gravity to fall into not just sin, but ultimately to despise God and to walk away from him. And that's a constant problem and a constant battle that the believer fights. And even though temptations like this and this lure of the world away from God and his word, even though this is something that goes on all the way to the grave, there's something about being young. There's something about youthfulness that it seems to be more intense. There's a stage in life when that pull and that magnetization from the world just seems to be even more notched up. So how can a young man, the psalmist asks, how can a young man or woman cleanse his way? Well, he provides the beautiful answer by taking heed according to your word. The word here for taking heed is a Hebrew word that has to do with staying up at night to watch guard. It's the same root for a night watchman to describe somebody that guards and preserves something. He says, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Back in that temple, if you were permitted to have gone behind the curtain into the Holy of Holies, the most holy place, and to see there the beautiful Ark of the Covenant, and to have lifted the lid with the golden angels and so on, and to peered inside, you would have seen in Solomon's day the tablets of stone that God had handed down to Moses on Mount Sinai. That very word of God, even though it was buried back inside of the ark, the very word of God was the thing inside of that temple that generated everything that was done there. It activated it. It was not only the guide and the blueprint in the word of God for the worship life that went on in that temple, but everything about it and everything that temple was had to do with that very word. And so it is with the believer as well. We who are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God has impressed and placed his holy word into our hearts by the work of conversion, bringing us to a knowledge of our Savior and now a desire to follow his word. And that same word that is impressed into the heart of the believer is now in the temple, God, the Holy Spirit's temple in his New Testament church. And it is the very thing that is the blueprint for how the temple is to operate. It is the very generator from which the source of everything that will be done inside of this temple must now come. When I was a little boy, my parents very faithfully and deliberately, almost every night after our devotions, would teach us the commandments, just to impress those into our hearts. It's amazing how that instruction that I received, probably learning those at age 2 or 3 and so on, that very instruction that God the Holy Spirit pushed into my heart so lovingly still guides and directs me as his temple today, despite my many years. Pop psychology today tells us a lot of things that aren't totally accurate, but one that always bugs me is, listen to your heart. Listen to your heart. Well, I don't know if you're like me, but my heart doesn't always tell me what I should really be doing according to God's will. Jeremiah tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. When I think of the things that my own personal heart, my sinful heart, can direct me to sometimes want to think and say and do, it's not always in line with what this temple should be doing. Notice that our psalmist does not tell the believer, listen to your heart. He says, your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. It's the word of God impressed into the heart that is to be the guide of God's children, his faithful temples in this world. A great example of how that word generates and activates the temple of the believer can be seen in the life of Joseph. When you remember that famous story when he was working in Potiphar's house and Potiphar's wife, who was probably rather beautiful, tried to entice him to come and sleep with her and so on. And Joseph responds to her, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? There, the word of God, hidden and impressed in his heart, was generating and giving him the blueprint for how he should respond to this situation. Notice that his reason that he states there has nothing to do with maybe getting caught. It doesn't have to do with the fact that this might kind of set in motion things that could get him in trouble. It isn't generated by the fear of getting an STD. No, it's purely the fact that it will harm his relationship with God. It's something his Lord does not want him to do. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? In the Holy Scriptures, God laid out the details for the priests who were to work inside of the temple. There were probably times when the priests caught themselves or someone else in the priesthood with them, there were thousands of them at times, caught one or the other one maybe doing something that wasn't quite in line with what they were supposed to be doing, and they needed to go back to the Word and restudy once again in order to purify and cleanse their actions. So it is with the believer today. A great commentator in the Lutheran faith, Paul Kretzmann, says it this way: the more a Christian knows the precepts of God's holy will, the more he desires to learn the way of sanctification. At the same time, he exercises himself in confession. And so it's a twofold process when we hear the word of God. It is not only knowing again and hearing and seeing what is holy and right that God wants done in and through his temple, but it's also realizing when we have failed at that and how it can be cleansed again by his mercy. And just as the entire Old Testament temple's worship life was built and designed around the sacrificial system and the mercy of God in the coming Christ, so it is for us today who have had this word impressed into our hearts. The primary message of that word is to lead us to the mercy of God in Christ, who has come to forgive us and to cleanse us by his blood. How grateful we should be that the Lord has made us his holy temples. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Today we have a prayer request on behalf of one of our students, Paige Green, who is undergoing tests for a possible aneurysm. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, by your gracious invitation, we come before your throne on behalf of our sister Paige. Grant wisdom and discernment to the physicians who now seek to diagnose her condition. If it is your will, provide her with the medical care to bring healing to her body, that she may continue in her studies. Give her comfort according to your word, and preserve all of us in the truth you have provided by the divine inspiration of your Spirit. We ask it all in the name of Jesus, the physician of our souls. Amen.